Before we start our episode today, I want to talk a little bit about a hard topic, fertility. If you are one of the many women struggling to become pregnant again, just know that we're thinking of you and sending you the most positive thoughts. For mamas trying to conceive or struggling with fertility, I encourage you to check out Needed. When the two founders of Needed began their fertility journey, they were shocked to see the lack of nutrition advice provided. Along with creating an amazing line of prenatal vitamins, omega-3s, and other essentials, they offer egg quality support for women and sperm plus for men. These are things that are not often talked about. I wanted to share more about both of those products. Needed's egg quality support is designed to support egg cell health as they develop into mature eggs. Improving egg quality can support fertility outcomes. It's never too early or too late to start focusing on egg quality, but for optimal results, they recommend taking egg support at least 3 months before trying to conceive or freezing the eggs. For Needed Sperm Support Plus, it combines targeted and clinically studied ingredients, pre and probiotics, antioxidants, and botanicals for the whole body approach to male fertility. Expertly formulated for men who are thinking of trying to conceive and for men's vitality at stages of all life. If you are pregnant or trying to conceive, or even in your postpartum stages, consider switching to Needed to get 20% off your order by using code VBAC20. That is thisisneeded.com and use code VBAC20 at checkout. Hello, hello. We have a special episode for you today. We have my friend Kristen, who is actually the owner of Ask the Doulas podcast, on with us today. And she is going to be talking about establishing our birth team and the importance of it. And we're going to talk a little bit more about, you know, what to expect when we might not find a provider that's supportive and how to navigate it. And she's going to talk more about her book and so many things. You guys, I'm really excited. Kristen is a woman who has always had a passion for supporting other women, both personally and professionally. In college, Kristen served on the executive committee of her sorority and organized events on campus related to breast cancer and other women's issues. After the birth of her daughter in 2011, a new passion awoke within her. Kristen began reading and studying birth from all perspectives, philosophies, and medical approaches. She joined organizations like the Healthy Kent Breastfeeding Coalition and used her event coordinating skills to build and promote the organization and create community awareness. You guys, she has done so many incredible things. Kristen's research has led her to learn more about doulas. And in 2012, she hired doulas herself for the support of her second birth. The level of compassionate care and comfort that she received from her doulas ignited a spark within her and led her down the path of becoming a doula herself. And man, can I connect to this, because this is exactly what happened to me. Oh my gosh, when you guys have a doula who inspires you and touches you and motivates you the way sounds like Kristen did and I did, even though my doula wasn't a hired doula, she was just a nurse that was a doula for the time being, it does something to you. She earned the certification and became teaching sacred pregnancy classes in 2013. But as you'll see, Kristen is a firm believer in achieving the highest level of education available when providing a service shortly after she earned the following credentials. You guys, are you ready for this? She's amazing. Oh my gosh. Certified sacred doula in 2014. She is a certified elite labor through Pro Doula, a labor doula through Pro Doula. She is the elite postpartum and infant care doula through Pro Doula. She's trained in spinning babies, newborn specialists, mothership certified health service provider, certified in VBAC. She is certified in transformational birth and a birth coach for the birth coach method. She is certified pregnancy and infant loss advocate and certified gift registry expert through Be Her Village, who we will talk about. We both love them so much. You guys, she is also an author of a book, which we will be sharing more about. It's called Supported, Your Guide to Birth and Baby. So without further ado, we are actually going to be skipping a review today and an educational topic because this is such a great episode to to be educated and learn more about what Kristen is offering in her community.
Hi, my name is Megan. Welcome to the VBAC Link podcast. I am a VBAC after two C-section mama, a wife, doula, and VBAC educator. This podcast was created to hold space for those wanting to know their options for birth after cesarean. It is a space where you will likely find yourself getting better educated, relate to stories like your own, and finding the inspiration to help you have a better birth experience. Although we will be sharing stories related to cesarean and VBAC, this podcast is for anyone and everyone who wants to receive evidence-based information and learn how to avoid unnecessary or undesired cesareans. The purpose of this podcast is to educate and inform. It is not meant to replace advice from any other medical professional.
Okay, my love. Hello. We're officially getting going, talking about this amazing topic that, like I said, like it's just, I don't, okay, tell me what you think about this. I think sometimes people want to assemble this dream team, but they let finances or even partners or other opinions get in the way.
Yes. Partner comfort level, especially with VBACs, is key. Or with, you know, clients of mine that want, their dream is to have a home birth, and their partner isn't supportive. So then they say, oh, it'll be with the next baby. If everything goes well in the hospital, then, but then if there are complications, so it may not, you know, they might risk out of the option of a home birth. So I think as consumers, we don't fully appreciate the ability to choose all of our birth and baby team. We can change providers. So I switched providers with my first pregnancy early on because I didn't feel like that particular OB was on board with my plans to have an unmedicated hospital birth. And I ended up switching to certified nurse midwives and, you know, completely changed practices, completely changed hospitals, in fact. And it's a lot.
Yeah,
but it was worth it. And I had, you know, again, the time where it was easier to switch, but I've had clients switch very late in pregnancy. And it was harder to find the right office to accept them. But with VBACs, it is crucial to have not just a VBAC tolerant provider, but someone who is fully on board with your unique desires, because we are all individuals.
I love that you said that, your unique desires. Everybody is different. And I think it's really important to tell these providers what your desires are. We have a list of questions that we give people in our course and, of course, on the podcast. And you can go down that list and check and be like, okay, this provider seems pretty supportive. But you guys have to tailor your questions and your provider, or I guess, you have to tailor it to what your individual unique circumstances and desires are, because everyone's is different. I would love to know, okay, you kind of said, like, I was realizing that this wasn't the right place. What kind of things were you hearing or being told or feeling when you were realizing that maybe your first provider wasn't going to be as supportive and in line with your unique decisions?
Just when I was talking about my wishes, I could tell that that particular provider liked structure and patience to, you know, get that epidural. And so once I started talking about movement, delivering in different positions, some of the things I had researched, I hadn't yet taken a childbirth class because it was early in pregnancy. But I had done a fair bit of research before, you know, knowing what a doula was, or I didn't hire doulas until my second, but I could just tell in that gut feeling, which I rely on. Again, we're all unique. And yes, I do research, but I make decisions on, am I comfortable, you know, spending my entire pregnancy with someone who can tolerate me and will say, okay, but I could tell it didn't light her up. So once I found a practice where, My nurse midwife spent time with me. I had longer appointments. I could ask questions. And she was 100% on board with me. And then I was able to meet the other midwives and the OBs who oversaw them, you know, throughout the remainder of my pregnancy. And I felt very cared for. And again, we are consumers, whether your insurance pays for everything or you're paying for part of it, you don't get a do-over of your birth. And so it is so important, especially with that first birth, to get the care team that aligns with you. So, and that could be everything from, you know, a Webster certified chiropractor, a physical therapist, a mental health therapist to deal with any anxieties that may come up with having a VBAC and getting a lot of fear filled, you know, advice from friends and family members. So I find that, again, my clients are all unique individuals, and my students in the Becoming a Mother course, and now the readers in my book, they have different goals. So I want them to choose the best plan for them. And I love that you have worksheets and templates, but knowing that every situation is different, whether it's a home birth, a, you know, trial of labor, or a hospital birth, that setting is different. And the type of provider, whether it's a nurse midwife or an OB practice, how likely is the OB that is very VBAC supportive going to, you know, be attending your birth? Are there 12 providers or are there only four? And so there's just so many things to factor in when deciding what is important to you.
Yeah, that point that you just brought up, like, are there 12 providers? Are there only four? Does your provider guarantee that they'll be there? These are things that I think a lot of people may not be aware of, that because they found their provider. They're feeling good about their provider. They're jiving. They're having the feels, but then they may not be the ones to be there. So there's 11 other options. And it feels overwhelming to be like, wait, do I interview all 11? Yeah, guys. Yeah. You set up visits. It's okay. Go and see if you can meet with those. Make sure that that full team is aligned. And it is a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot to take on. But it's okay to rotate and say, hey, I saw Dr. Jack last time. I'd like to see Dr. Joe this time, you know, or whatever it may be. Really, really like dive in, find out more about your team, your provider's team, if they have a team, and make sure that they align with your unique decisions and desires.
Absolutely. And that goes for doulas as well.
Oh, yeah.
So for VBAC clients, I, you know, over the last couple of years, I do all of the matchmaking, I like to call it, between client and the birth doulas and postpartum doulas on my team, in fact. So I like to find out, you know, what they're looking for. If they are attempting a VBAC, then many times they're telling me they want a VBAC certified doula. And I have doulas that have gone through, you know, your program and are certified through you and other different VBAC trainings. And so they're not just wanting VBAC experience, like in my early days of having Gold Coast doulas. Now they're wanting that certification because they know that information is being updated as things change and there's more evidence for, you know, VBACs. And so, and they also want more than just, oh, I've attended four VBACs. They want the education behind it. Mm-hmm. So I think that is crucial. I'm not going to, you know, match, unless there's no one else available on my team, a client with someone who is not certified as a VBAC doula.
Yeah, I do the same thing with my group here where they're like, this is really important to me. You know, I want this specific type of doula. And we have, you know, some of my doulas have taken the VBAC Link course. And so I'm like, yep, this would be who I would suggest. But I also want to point out that even if you assemble your dream team doula and they've got all the education and information on VBAC and they're up to date, I want to just point out that it doesn't mean that you shouldn't inform yourself, that you shouldn't get the information. Because sometimes I feel like it's easy to want to just hire your provider or your doula or your person and let them who know VBAC kind of help and guide you. But it is really important. You're doing yourself a disservice if you personally do not learn more about VBAC and your options as well and rely only on your provider or your doula.
100%. The doula, I mean, unless you're paying her for it, will not be attending every one of your prenatal visits during pregnancy. And the education that you have to make informed questions and decisions surrounding your birth plan or birth preference sheet. So those conversations are critical. So the more information you have as a patient, the better. And as we all know, unless you're having a home birth, your visits are short, even with a nurse midwife. And so it's important to have those questions and to have time to really express concerns. Or if you're finding that that practice or that provider is not in line with your plans, then you can look at other options. And the hospital, I mean, what are are VBACs even allowed at the hospital that you plan to deliver at? And, you know, are they going to induce, or, you know, what are the cesarean rates? And looking at all of the different options. And if you need to consider, you know, NICUs, that's always a factor in hospital selection as well.
Yeah. I'm going to kind of go back to where we were in the beginning, where you realized based off of your feelings and all, you know, other things that this provider was not the right provider for you. You then changed to CNMs, had a much better experience. Can you discuss your process of that change, how you changed? Did you find the CNMs, have them request your information from the OB? Did you do a formal breakup with your OB? You know, like what suggestions would you give to someone who is wanting to do that? And I know that sometimes you were talking about it, like sometimes in the end, it's a little harder to find. And so that's why we stress so importantly, find your provider from the beginning. But we know that sometimes things change. So can you kind of talk about that process in then assembling that dream, like getting the steps to get to that dream team?
Yes. So for me, I had asked friends about, you know, which providers they had worked with. So the original OB, a friend of mine, it was her doctor, and she had a great experience, and I just wasn't feeling it. And she had a student, you know, we have teaching hospitals in my area. So there was a student in the room, and I wasn't feeling like she was 100% on board. And I could tell that she was very medically driven. And I wanted essentially a home birth in a hospital. So yeah, so I talked to more friends and did research online. And a friend of mine had used this particular practice. And so I ended up going with the midwife that delivered her three children. Okay. And so it worked out beautifully because it was early in pregnancy. That practice had openings, but it took me a while because I was changing hospitals and practices completely. Mm-hmm. And my insurance luckily covered all of the options, but that's another thing to look into. Mm-hmm. Like, does your insurance cover the hospital the provider you want to switch to delivers that if it is a hospital birth? Of course, you can be back at home in certain states. So yeah, so just looking at all of the factors that would, you know, come into play. So for me, it was dealing with the paperwork of switching out of that practice, getting admitted and going to that initial get to know you visit with a nurse and doing my labs before I got to meet with the midwife that I had wanted to work with. And so it took a bit. I mean, no one likes to deal with the paperwork and the phone calls it takes, but your health is so important. And especially again for VBACs.
Yeah. So you essentially did all the paperwork and the transfer yourself.
Yes.
Okay.
I made all the phone calls, dealt with insurance, and made sure that, you know, that initial visit was paid for along with the nurse visit. And then that insurance was comfortable.
Then it
with
covered.
Me.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. I did when I switched, because I switched at 24 weeks. My midwife just faxed a request to my OB office, and it took them a while to send it. We had to ask like 5 times, which I think probably would have been faster if I, like you, made the phone calls and did all the things. But I was like in this weird vulnerable spot of like, I don't want to go back there.
Right. You don't want to deal with it.
Yeah, I don't want to deal with
it. Even just talking to the front desk.
Yeah. So we waited, but for it, and they eventually got it. But I think that that's important to note. Like, you guys can make the calls too. You can call and say, hey, I'd like to request my records to be printed out or to be sent to this place. And
that's what I did, because otherwise it's like 6 weeks oftentimes, or you have to keep calling, they get lost. And so I just handled it, but it can be challenging. And as doulas, and certainly VBAC doulas, we know the providers that would be not only tolerant, but supportive of VBAC. So we get those questions frequently from potential clients and clients of, you know, am I at the right place? And of course, we support whoever our clients, you know, choose to have care from, but there's also kind of, if asked, I will tell them about the practice and, you know, my own experience as a doula or the agency's experience. And, you know, and again, in those large practices, there might be 4 that are so VBAC supportive, they love it. But then there might be some physicians who are
so much,
are not as comfortable. They feel that a surgical birth might be the better route to go. And so there's that. So what I like to do as a VBAC doula is to have my clients talk to their provider, again, go over a birth plan or birth preference sheet and have them sign off on it. And that way, if they don't attend the birth, then the other physicians know that this was approved, that it's not just a birth plan that is thrown out there, but it has been discussed. And it's not, it doesn't, you know, work all the time, but it has been helpful for my clients, no matter if they're a VBAC client or, you know, this is their first baby. And again, they have certain goals that they want to achieve, like potentially avoiding an induction. Unless medically necessary.
Oh my gosh. So I'm just going to retouch on that, you guys, because that was really, really, really good advice and something I've actually never done or even thought about or suggested to my own doula practice clients. Get your birth preference sheet or birth plans. Everyone calls it different. I call it birth preference sheet, which is a list of all your preferences that you desire. Go over that with your provider and have them physically sign it and date it, showing that your provider went over. And like she said, it may not, every provider may not be willing to do that. But I will say, if a provider is willing to do that, that says something to me.
It does. Yes.
Super powerful. Oh my gosh. Okay. Nugget. Grab it. Put it in your pocket, everybody. Sign your birth preference sheet so you can have it and keep that in your bag. So if you do have that random on-call doctor that maybe not even know you or not be so supportive, be like, this has already been discussed. We're aware of this. My doctor has signed off. And also you could maybe ask if your provider could put a copy of that, make a copy of that and put it in your chart.
Right. Because yes, it's not just the one that they have on file. But it's also for, you know, the ones that you have, that copy that you're bringing and showing the nurse. So the nurse, everyone is on the same page.
Love that.
And again, with teaching hospitals, you might have residents in and out, and there can be some difficult conversations with VBACs and residents who have never seen a VBAC. We're not fully trained yet to support VBACs. And so they might be making suggestions while the provider is not in that check-in. So every state, again, every area is different. I just happen to be in an area with multiple teaching hospitals.
Same here. And we have seen it where I think, I don't want to say this bad. The VBAC world is a world that can have a lot of negativities in it. Like negative things. Big words like uterine rupture, right? And so we've got residents who may be coming in and maybe training under a provider who has seen a uterine rupture or has maybe molded an opinion on VBAC and is projecting their opinion to that student. Whether or not it's conscious, like they're consciously doing it or not, they're saying their opinion, and those opinions might morph that resident's opinion into negative for VBAC. You never know. And so they might be doing things or be more hesitant in areas that they don't need to be, but they are, you know.
Yeah, it's such a good point. And as you mentioned, I mean, we don't know the traumas that our nurses and medical team, even home birth midwives, have experienced, and they carry that with them. And how can they not? Even as doulas, we witness, but we don't have the liability and the medical training to make it, but we are witnesses of trauma and have our own healing to do to be able to better move on and support the next client. So, yes. So certainly keeping that in mind that, you know, they may have seen something that alters the way they practice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not just fear of lawsuits.
It's really not. Yeah, it's not. It's not. And they may even, like, there's a provider here in Utah that is literally so scared of vaginal birth herself. Like, she scheduled all of her cesareans, the very first one from the get-go, never even had a vaginal birth, never even had a trial of labor or TOL. She just doesn't. So can you imagine what her cesarean rate may be? And she kind of reminds me of the provider you're talking about, like, really likes it, like, just so control, you know, come in, start Pitocin, get an epidural, you know, likes those things, which we know can sometimes lead to those cesareans. And so really also discussing with your provider, how do you feel about birth? What is your, like, have you had babies? What, you know? And then we have another OB that's like, I work in the hospital and I love the hospital and I trust the hospital system, but I actually gave birth at home with all three of my babies.
Right.
And, you know, and so really getting to know your provider, I think, is so good. We're going to take a quick break to continue talking about fertility. I know many of our beautiful women of strength listening join us right after their cesarean birth. And when you're in your postpartum stages, many of your nutrition needs actually increase. And if you're thinking about having another baby, I invite you to take a moment to educate yourself on the support that our favorite prenatal supplement Needed offers for both fertility and postpartum. When the two founders of Needed began their fertility journey, they were shocked to see the lack of nutrition advice provided. Along with creating an amazing line of prenatal vitamins, omega-3s, and other essentials, they offer eggs quality support for women and sperm support for men. Again, this is not something we often talk about. Male fertility impacts conception and a healthy pregnancy, and it is in decline due to stress, toxins, aging, and other lifestyle factors. Hormone and gut health of your partner directly influences sperm quantity and quality, and ultimately the DNA passed from sperm to baby. I love that Needed not only thinks about the female fertility, but also about the male fertility. Needed does an amazing job thinking about and supporting us women through the fertility journey. They offer prenatals, omega-3s, antioxidant-rich and egg quality support supplements, and it is formulated by prenatal health practitioners to help you and your eggs thrive.
You are born with all of your egg cells, or oocytes. And the oocyte takes 3 to 4 months to mature before ovulation. Needed egg quality support is designed to support egg cell health as they develop into mature eggs. Improving egg quality can support fertility outcomes, and it's never too early or too late to focus on egg quality. So we hope you can check out thisisneeded.com and enjoy 20% off with code VBAC20. Again, that is VBAC20 at thisisneeded.com. Back to today's show. Let's take a moment to talk about Coterie wipes, because they're just as amazing as their diapers. These wipes are made from 100% plant-based fibers and are up to 30% larger than most other brands, making them perfect for even the messiest of situations. They're also hypoallergenic and dermatologist tested, so they're safe for newborns and even eczema-prone skin. One of our team members shared that these wipes have been a game changer, gentle enough for delicate skin, but durable enough to get the job done with fewer wipes. They've even earned the National Eczema Association's Seal of Acceptance. You guys, you can pair these with Coterie diapers for a high-performance diaper duo. And do not forget, you can get 20% off with code VBAC20 of your first order of $40 or more. Add a pack of these incredible wipes to your order to see the difference.
Okay, let's keep going on this topic of assembling your dream team of experts when planning for birth and baby. What other things would you suggest to our women of strength?
Yes. So as we know, birth is as physical as it is mental, and just the opposite, as mental as it is physical. Mm-hmm. So preparing with a childbirth class, a comprehensive class, even if you took one before, use the lens of your goal of attempting, you know, a VBAC, a trial of labor. And so for us, we happen to teach hypnobirthing at Gold Coast Doulas, and that mind-body connection that hypnobirthing or a gentle birth offers, where it's more of using the visualization the way an athlete would in preparing for a marathon or a triathlon. You are using things to reduce fear, and you're understanding all of your options, and it's very partner involved. So I think taking a comprehensive childbirth class, whichever meets your individual goals, is a great, that childbirth instructor is a great person to add to your birth and baby team, and then moving your body. So taking a fitness class that is appropriate for pregnancy. So prenatal yoga, there are bar classes for pregnancy, there are prenatal belly dancing classes, whatever it is, but moving
aqua
your body.
Aerobics.
Swimming and water aerobics amazing. And so thinking about baby's position and helping labor to, you know, go on its own or be quicker. Like, so there's acupuncture, acupressure, you know, the Webster certified chiro for positioning or body balancing experts. Yeah. So many different options, but I am a big fan of educating yourself and preparing, because as you mentioned earlier, Megan, a doula is not your end all be all, like, is not going to, just because we have the information and the training, we can't think for you. We don't want to think for you. The more informed you are, the more likely you're going to feel like birth didn't happen to you this time around, and you were a direct participant, even if you end up having a surgical birth again.
Yes. Oh my gosh. So talking about courses, you guys, like, we have our VBAC course, and this VBAC course goes into, like, VBAC, the stats about VBAC, the history of VBAC, the history of cesarean, the stats of cesarean, the questions, the finding the provider, a little bit more of like mental prep, physical prep, right? But when it comes to childbirth education course, like with the course that she has, they're different. They're on different levels. And I actually suggest them both.
Me too. Absolutely.
But this, like, it's so important to know the information that is in your course. And I know you go even past preparing for birth and then postpartum. Like, you go into all of it, and we're going to talk more about it. But
You guys, we as doulas, we love getting information and we love sharing information. But like she said, we don't want to be the only one that knows the information in right. a team. And so when our clients come in, at least here in my group, when our clients come in and they are fully educated and we're like, yes. And then we can come in with our education and our experience and knowledge. You guys, it is a powerhouse team. It is a powerhouse team. We have clients who, when they take child birth education classes like yours, they are able to advocate more for themselves. They feel right. stronger to stand up and say, hey, thank you so much, but no thanks. Or maybe later, when our clients who haven't had that childbirth education or, you know, just any information other than maybe what we're providing, which is great, but not enough in the full length of pregnancy, right?
Right.
It's a little harder, and we have to try to encourage those clients a little bit more because it's harder for them because they don't know everything, and we're there to help mm-hmm. guide them and help advocate for them and educate them, but it is very different.
It is. It's so different. And I feel like, again, partners, especially male partners, want to fix things. They mm-hmm. don't want their love to feel any pain. And so they may have the fear of a VBAC. Mm-hmm. So taking a VBAC class course, having a VBAC mm-hmm. doula giving information is just as helpful, if not more, for the partner and their comfort level, and to have yeah. them fully get on board, because they may be resisting and just going along for yeah. the ride. But if you can get them to be an active participant in education, yes. then they're going to be able to help you. And sometimes in labor, we get to a point in transition where we can't fully speak for ourselves. But if our partner understands, is mm-hmm. educated and on board, and if there's time to talk through the risks and benefits and alternatives with your doula, then yeah. yes, but sometimes decisions have to be made quickly. And so for that partner to be informed and educated is crucial.
So crucial. It's so powerful. My husband, he was not so on board. He was like, whatever, I don't care. You can go to the courses. You can do yeah. these things.
And that's pretty typical.
It's very typical. And, you know, and I did. I did do those things. And I, you know, when I said, hey, I'm going to birth out of hospital, and he was like, no. I was like, well, sorry, you know. Right. Like, I've done the education. I know this is really where my heart is pulling. And, you know, we touched on this in the beginning, how partners really can influence decision making. And in no way, shape, or form am I trying to say partners are terrible or don't listen to your partner or anything like that. That's not the goal of what we're saying is have an educated partner. Know that you can assemble a birth team, like a provider, a chiropractor, a massage therapist, a doula, a PT, whatever it may be, but don't forget about your partner. Your partner is a huge part of your team. And if yes. they're not educated, and they're not able to help guide you through, or if they're not being supportive, find ways to help them be supportive by taking a course with them and helping them realize, oh, VBAC actually isn't that scary. Oh, that chance isn't really 50%+. Oh, okay. Hospital birth, out of hospital birth. Yeah, they're both reasonable. You know, really understanding that.
Absolutely. And sometimes I find that my students and clients may have not had success with breastfeeding the first time mm-hmm. and potentially didn't take a class. So if their goal is to breastfeed or pump exclusively, then yeah. taking a breastfeeding class and having that IBCLC as a resource for their dream team in case it's needed, because many times you have the lactation consultant who's teaching the class, at least in my practice, and then they're also available for, say, a home visit or a hospital visit, depending on where the class is taking place. Yeah. And so I think that that's something, even if it isn't your first baby, and maybe you breastfed for a little bit or had supply issues or challenges after a surgical birth, that it is important to consider any education during pregnancy because it's much harder to get that education after you have your baby.
It really is. I love that you're touching on that, like really getting into all the things and having your partner go with you. I remember I was like, I had a C-section and I was swollen and tired and I couldn't move very well. And I was sore, you know, all the things that sometimes come with C-sections. And I'm trying to nurse and I'm engorged. I have like, I don't feel my letdown and I'm just so engorged. And miserable. And I don't know. All I know is I have really big swollen boobs, you know,
yes.
That's all I could tell. And I couldn't latch. And my husband's like, that's it. We're going to the store. We're getting formula, which formula is fine. Not anything about
trying to fix the problem. Make you feel better. Right?
Yep. Trying to fix that problem. But I was like, no, I really want to breastfeed. And at that point I wasn't able to communicate. Like I didn't get the birth I wanted. I already felt like a failure, right? Quote unquote failure. Because I was actually told that your body failed. That's what I was told. So horrible. I was already dealing with this, right? Dealing with this mind of I failed. I had a C-section. I didn't want a C-section. And now the only thing I could try to do, because I couldn't go back, take that C-section back, is breastfeed my baby. I wanted to breastfeed my baby. And again, we didn't take those childbirth education classes. He for sure didn't download any apps. I at least had an app trying to help me at the point.
Right.
But he didn't understand. He didn't understand. And I'm like, no. And I'm crying. And I'm like, please just help me. I don't know what I need. Just help me. And he's like, no, we're going to the store. Our baby's mad. You're crying. Like trying to fix that problem.
Yeah.
But if we had already done that education before and found that IBCLC before and him understanding how important that was to me, he could have been like, I'm going to call her IBCLC. I'll get her over here right away.
Exactly.
You know,
the last thing you want to do is go into the hospital to see a lactation consultant there, if you can even get in.
Exactly. Yeah. So. It just could have been so much smoother. And we could have been, I feel like we were against each other in that point because he didn't have any education with our first. I really didn't have much education, but with our third, it was like, he really didn't have a lot of education. I was like over the top educated.
Right.
And so I was saying these things and he was thinking I was like demeaning him or like saying he was stupid because I was like, no, it's like this, you know, and it was just this weird thing. Yeah. And so we can just come together with our partners and get all the education and get it all before. Really, find out a postpartum plan, find out a breastfeeding plan, right? Find out what you want. You guys, it just makes the pregnancy journey, the postpartum journey so much better. And it truly makes you feel like you're on that team because you are.
Yeah, absolutely. And certainly, I mean, you mentioned apps. So not everyone has the means or even lives in an area where they can take a comprehensive 5, 6, 10 week childbirth class. So there are obviously online classes. There are some on Zoom virtual where, you know, students are all over the place, but there are, you know, watching birth videos and YouTube. And in my book, Supported Your Guide to Birth and Baby, we talk about apps. So count the kicks, especially for VBACs, like doing the self-monitoring. Yeah. If there's fear of fetal movement and any sort of distress during the end of the pregnancy, then really understanding your own body and doing monitoring. It's not just when you're in your provider's office being monitored, that you can make a difference yourself. So having some different apps and some education on your own, listening to podcasts like yours to get this information and reading books. So there's more than if you can't afford a childbirth class like hypnobirthing, then there's still ways that you can get educated, your partner can get educated. So yeah, take a look at all of your options and your budget.
Yeah. And we talk about this all the time because I love them, but Be Her Village is a really great resource where you can go fill out a registry and hopefully get some help for these things, childbirth education classes, doulas, IBCLCs. But I want to dive a little bit more into your book, actually, while we're talking about different resources. We talked about the childbirth education, but can we talk about more about the supported your guide to birth and baby, and how this came into fruition and what all is included in this amazing book.
Okay, Megan. So essentially, the book came out of our online course. So Becoming a Mother launched in the early pandemic when everything was shut down and our classes all had to go virtual. I was fortunate to be in a state where doulas who were certified were able to work thanks to our governor. So we were working, but there was still a lot of isolation. Even with our clients' prenatal visits, they wanted a connection. So we launched this course we had talked about and did 3 live launches, got feedback from our students, pulled people in all the moms groups before creating the first draft of the course. And then the course just led to the book. So the content in Becoming a Mother is what is in the book in a different format. So in Becoming a Mother, we have expert videos. So VBAC specialists and Webster certified chiropractors talking about what that is, pelvic floor physical therapists, car seat safety technicians, cord blood banking donation centers.
Awesome.
And so we have the experts speaking for themselves, a pediatrician. And so in the book, anything that is medical and out of the scope of a doula, we had expert contributors. So I have a pediatrician friend of mine contributed newborn procedure section of the chapter, and a prenatal yoga studio instructor. She's also a certified body balancer. She contributed to some of the fitness options in the book. And a mental health therapist who is PMAD focused and certified contributed to the mental health chapter. And so we have an IBCLC that contributed to the feeding chapter. And so a lot of involvement, and then sharing client stories throughout the book. And then our own wisdom. We have doula tips and wisdom at the end of every chapter. And wow. So as clients were asking me for books over the years, I couldn't find anything that was positive. I felt like there were a lot of, you know, this is your, it's like cry it out method for sleep, because we have a whole chapter on sleep. And it's, you know, very attachment focused. It's like one way for feeding. And we wanted our clients to, with their unique choices for themselves, have a book that supports people who want to plan surgical birth, like that OB, and that's their comfort level, and a book for the same person who wants a home birth. You don't have to buy 5 different books. And it's not always Ina May, which is a great book, but not for everyone. All of her different, you know, she's got spiritual midwifery and so many different books, but it is, you know, great for grandparents to read and partners, but is targeted to the mother or the mother to be, and is great in preconception in that early planning, but is also, we wanted to make it similar to the course, just as valuable for seasoned moms as it is for new moms. And again, it's affirming. We tried not to have any fear-filled information.
Yes.
And simple, easy to read guide that you can pull out for reference, and a lot of different, you know, again, apps and podcasts and books to read and resources and evidence-based information about Black maternal health and where we're at in the country now and how the pandemic impacted, you know, birth especially, but also that postpartum time.
Yeah. Wow, that book sounds amazing. So amazing. And you guys, you can get it in every form, even Audible. So I'm a big listener. I like to listen to books.
Same.
And Kristen and Alyssa, they actually recorded it. She was telling me they had 10 plus hour days, you guys, recording this book, so you can get it. And we will make sure to have the links for that in the show notes. But you can go to, is it Gold? Well, I found it at goldcoastdoulas.com/supported your guide to birth and baby. Is there?
Yes, you can find it off that website, or it has its own page. So it's supportedbook.com.
Supportedbook.com. Okay. And we'll make sure that that's all in the show notes so you guys can grab that. Okay. So you know a lot. Obviously, you wrote a whole book and a whole course and all this stuff. Is there anything else that you would like to share in regards to just our final, you know, assembling that powerhouse birth team?
So don't forget, I know we're talking a lot about pregnancy and birth prep, but don't forget your recovery phase. And yes, you had talked about your own personal struggles with breastfeeding, engorgement, recovery after a surgical birth. Mm-hmm. If you have, well, you do have other children at home. So with VBACs, and so looking at childcare, postpartum doula support, or, you know, what kind of family support you're going to have after. It's more than just meal plans and prepping the nursery. Mm-hmm. We strongly believe that as part of your dream team, the postnatal team is crucial as well. So whether it's a lactation consultant, a pelvic floor physical therapist, if you want to get back to running marathons again, or are leaking, I mean, we can all use pelvic floor physical therapy. It's not just the athletes. And, yep, you know, that support. Some people, again, with building a home or, you know, other life occurrences like a wedding or preparing for college, you look at your budget, you look at your main goals for a wedding. It might be food. For postpartum, it might be sleep. So hiring a sleep consultant when baby's old enough, or an overnight postpartum doula or a newborn care specialist. Like, what are your priorities? And take the budget. What might be paid for by insurance or a health savings flex spending plan that you need to run down? Mm-hmm. What might be gifted? Like you mentioned, Be Her Village. Like, yeah, there are different ways you can budget. And in the book, we talk about all of that and looking at employer plans, how to, you know, navigate that, what questions to ask your HR department about, wow, other members, like a chiropractor, could that be covered, a therapist? Oftentimes we don't know our own benefits. And certainly I don't know my husband's benefits fully. So, mm-hmm, you know, to be able to investigate that early in pregnancy and figure out what might be fully or partially paid for.
Wow, that is incredible in itself. And I feel like that's a whole other conversation of how to navigate how to do that. So definitely go get the book, you guys, because it sounds like there's just so many things in there that it's honestly crucial to know. Really, really important things to know. You are incredible. I just enjoy chatting with you so much. Anything else? Yeah. Anything else you'd like to add?
And obviously, taking trainings and courses. If I know you have doulas who listen, it's not just parents.
Yes.
So as doulas, go through the VBAC link, get certified as a VBAC doula, keep up with information that is ever changing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we all want to be the best doula for each of our clients. But I am a firm believer in continuing our own education, and that more and more of our clients are choosing to attempt VBACs. And so the more information you can get as a professional, the better you're able to support. It's just not the number of VBACs you've attended anymore. It's, yeah, clients wanting that knowledge so you can be busier and also a more effective doula by getting that training and then going through the certification process that you offer.
Yeah. Yeah, we have a directory actually with birth doulas where people can go and find it. Because when Julie and I created this company way back in the day, we knew that we were just two people here in Utah. We couldn't change the VBAC world. We could give, right, as much information as we could. We could share the podcast. We could do those types of things. But when it comes to birth workers, like, we wanted to reach birth workers everywhere. And it's so great that we have, and we're still having more people come on because they're helping people so much. I mean, we know you have doulas that do it all the time. These doulas do help, and there's actual stats on doulas that do it. But I agree, like, if you're a birth worker, stay up to date. Like, be in the know what's going on, because you will likely need to help guide your client through it. And
yes.
And
many, and you can charge more. So take that investment
yes.
in a training like VBAC Link, and then you're able to charge more because you're more experienced. You have more certifications. So
yeah.
don't look at like, oh, I don't have any money for continuing education. Mm-hmm. Look at how that's going to change your career.
Yeah. And I think sometimes too, you can charge a little bit more, take less clients and be more personal with those clients.
Yes.
And dive into it, because especially because we do know that VBAC does take, there's some extra stuff that goes on with VBAC. There's some extra work to be worked through, you know, there's some extra things. And so, yeah, I love that.
Well, thank you so much for having me on, Megan. I loved our chat.
Thank you. You as well, as always, loved our other chat as well. And maybe we'll have to keep going. I think I'm going to order your book today and get going on that. Even though I'm not a mom preparing, I think this would be such a great book to suggest to all of my clients. So thank you for sharing.
Thank you. Yeah, my secondary audience is certainly anyone who works with families in the birth and baby space. Mm-hmm. But it is targeted, again, just similar to my podcast. It's like I have the listener, the yep. pregnant individual and family, but I also have birth workers. The book is similar. So
yeah.
But thank you for ordering. I appreciate it.
Yes. And can you also tell everybody where to find you, not just in your book, but Instagram, podcasts, all the social medias?
So my podcast is Ask the Doulas. You can find us on all the podcast players, and you were a guest recently. So
yay.
Very fun. And certainly we're at Gold Coast Doulas on everything from Pinterest to YouTube to Facebook to Instagram. I don't have separate social sites for my book because I honestly don't have time for that. But
that's okay.
Yeah.
It's a package. It comes in like with your whole, it comes in with everything. So you don't need
yes.
to have another book page. Well, awesome. Well, thank you again so much.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too.
Interested in sharing your VBAC? Head over to thevbaclink.com/share to submit your story. For information on all things VBAC, including online and in-person VBAC classes, the VBAC blog, the worldwide database for VBAC doulas, and more, head over to thevbaclink.com. Congratulations on starting your journey of learning and discovery with the VBAC Link.
Hey everybody, I just wanted to take a quick sec to thank you all so much for listening to today's episode. We are so glad that you are here. This community is near and dear to our heart. We love you all so much. If you enjoyed today's episode, we would really appreciate it if you'd leave us a rating and review. Our whole team here at the VBAC Link actually gets to see these reviews come in, and it makes our day. A 5-star rating helps us share our podcast and gets these important messages out there. Thank you so much for listening, and we cannot wait to see you next time.